About
they
that, John Crawford.
Cameras all around mm-hmm. that showed that the police fired on this man within seconds of getting them in his sight. Turns out he had a toy gun in his hand, and they made no effort to determine whether and it was a real gun and or any kind of whether he was actually making a threat. And most of us would say a reasonable person should make that effort, that you shouldn't just start shooting at people because you're afraid and because you've been told by someone that they have a gun. But the grand jury doesn't look at it for what a reasonable person would do. They look at whether the police officers, one, had a reasonable fear, and two, acted in accordance with their training, and three, acted in accordance with the law. And so basically they said, you know, it's unfortunate that this man got killed, but the police officer really didn't do anything wrong. And I think that's what's going to happen with the young kid up in happened to the police officer who killed the young kid up in Cleveland. And I think that's what was facing the grand jury in Ferguson, that they were given a trial. So first of all, you have to say that the prosecutor didn't just try to present the prima facie case to get an indictment. He presented the defendant's defenses, and that almost never happens in a grand jury. The defendant's defenses are irrelevant to an indictment. That's what the defenses come out on in trial. But clearly this prosecutor didn't want an indictment, so he allowed the defenses to come in.
Professor Randall, I want to thank you for your time and speaking with us.
Okay.
For KBOO News, I'm Jared Dantzler, and we've been speaking with Vernelia Randall, a professor emeritus of law at the University of Dayton in Ohio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Join KBOO at the Clinton Street Theater for our monthly movie screening night. This month, KBOO proudly presents Alice's Restaurant, the film based on a song based on Arlo Guthrie's 1965 Thanksgiving Day. Alice's Restaurant will screen Wednesday, November 26th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information about the film at KBOO at the Clinton series can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under the community events.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
What's up, everybody? This is Goddess of Goddess and She, and you're tuning in to KBOO Portland. Holla at your girl.
Hi, dear listeners. Welcome to Out Loud Tonight. I'm Alan, your host. Thanks for being with us here. Coming up next week is World AIDS Day, December 1st. So we have some folks with us who are going to talk about HIV and AIDS services and community organizations and groups that are working here in Portland. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Well, why doesn't everybody introduce themselves? We've got a nice full studio. I'm excited that everybody's here. Why don't we start with you, Jim?
Thanks, Alan. I'm Jim Clay. I am one of the founding members of Let's Kick Ass, PDX. We're our group of long-term survivors in the Portland metro area. And our overall goal is to gather together people who are both positive and negative, men and women, young and old, who have experienced the profound impact of the AIDS epidemic, who can understand that there is hope for us, but also there is trauma for us to overcome, and trying to find the balance between those.
Hello, I'm Alexis Page, and I am a certified application assister with the Cascade AIDS Project.
My name is Jennifer Jaco, and I'm a 24-year survivor of HIV/AIDS, and I'm here this evening to share a bit of my story and some of the advocacy that we're all doing for World AIDS Day.
And I'm Judith Rizzio, and I am the Manager of Volunteer Resources at Cascade AIDS Project, but tonight I'm here as the coordinator of the CAP as well as the ACT UP Portland Archives and the installation that is happening right now in the downtown library of those archives, as well as acknowledging the celebration of CAP's 30th year.
Wonderful. Thanks, everyone, for being here. So we're all trying to digest the Center for Disease Control's report that came out this week on HIV in the United States. They're telling us that it's about 1.2 million folks in the U.S. who have HIV. Only about 40% of those folks are receiving HIV-specific medical care. And only about 3 in 10 folks with HIV have achieved viral suppression. This is as of 2011. So there's an immense amount of work to be done just in terms of getting everybody to be as healthy as we can get them to be. So let's start with Alexis. We'll start with a basic healthcare delivery and signups under ACA.
Uh-huh. Okay, yes. So right now I'm sure everyone knows about open enrollment, which is currently going on. You may have heard something to do with that. And this is very important, especially for people living with HIV but for anyone, to be able to have this like affordable healthcare coverage and to take advantage of this time period right now when you are able to get that coverage and when you're able to get a discount on that coverage. Because I think that's something a lot of people don't realize is that a single person can be making up to about $46,800 a year and still be eligible for discounts on medical care for this health insurance. So it's kind of like anyone almost can come in and they're going to be able to actually get something. They're going to be able to get help. And it's just now is kind of the time to do it.
Sure. And let's break that down a little bit. Let's talk about what that means to get insurance through ACA.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the thing that it means is comfort and the knowledge that you can go to the doctor, you can get a prescription, you don't have to worry about what happens if I get sick, how sick do I have to be before I justify going to the emergency room. You actually have the ability to go get care, to go get treatment, and especially when it comes to anyone, but especially people living with HIV, it means that you can go to a doctor on a regular basis. You can talk to someone. They can answer your questions. You can actually have your health monitored, and they can give you the proper prescriptions to help you achieve viral suppression.
And when folks sign up through ACA for health insurance, they get a choice of plans they can choose from. They can sort of target what works for them as far as affordability, what their and what their needs are. Is that correct?
Yes, that is very true. And that's actually something that here at the Cascade AIDS Project, we can assist you with. If you come in and ask us for any sort of assistance, help, we can go over all those plans with you, and we can kind of be like, this is what this means. This is what they're telling you. This is how much they're saying you'd have to pay for this. And we can compare with you each, every plan, and help you find the one that will work best for you and be affordable.
Wonderful. So how do folks find you and your colleagues for some help? And when does open this season or session, when does this period of open enrollment run until?
Okay, well, I'm going to start with the dates first, because that's very important. That this period of open enrollment will be going until February 15th of next year. But there is another date that everyone who signed up during the last open enrollment should be aware of. If you signed up and you got any sort of qualified health plan last year, then you need to come in and actually renew your application by December 15th. If you do not renew your application by December 15th, you will lose your health insurance coverage on January 1st. And that is for everyone who had a qualified health plan last year during the open enrollment period. It's kind of a interesting situation, and it's involved with the changing of from the Cover Oregon website to the federal marketplace this year, which, as I said, the Cascade AIDS Project, we can help you with that. And the best way to contact us would be to go to our website, which is cascadeaids.org/coveroregon. Or you can go on Facebook or Twitter, and you'll also find us there, and you can get in contact with us through any of those means.
Wonderful. So that's a pretty short deadline. It's about 3 weeks that
yep.
folks have. If they have coverage through ACA now and they want to continue that, mm-hmm. they have about 3 weeks to re-enroll, redo the paperwork.
Yep, this is true. There's only about 3 weeks left. But also, so everyone knows that on December 13th, so 2 days before that deadline, the Cascade AIDS Project will be having an enrollment fair in Pivot, where anyone can come in regardless of status and receive assistance. You're also always free to contact us by going to our website there, cascadeaids.org, or to just even walk in and see if someone's available to help you right then.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thanks so much. So let's turn our attention to World AIDS Day and related events. Judith, you've got an exhibit you're curating. Two exhibits.
Well, it's yes, and it's really quite amazing and wonderful because it is CAPS archive, as well as the fact that we were bequeathed. It was wonderful, the ACT UP Portland archive. But what's most important, it is the archive of all of Oregon's history in regards to dealing with HIV. So I want to make that known, that this is for all of us to take in and honor, this epidemic and how it played out in Oregon. But yes, we have this amazing, the opportunity came about like a year ago. So we've been working on this, and it's on the third floor in the Collins Gallery in the downtown Multnomah County Library. And it's a beautiful space. And it's been a wonderful experience for me. I installed it, of course, with the help of the library staff. But the best part of it for me has been watching people stop and look at this and just take a moment. And I'll just tell one very quick story. There was a gentleman who was looking at this, and all of a sudden I just saw him sort of sink down and then just basically get on his knees and put his head down, and I realized, my goodness, this guy's crying. you know, and I'm installing and I'm a mess. But I walked over and I just crouched down with him and put my arm around him. And it was this amazing moment of realizing the power of telling history and honoring that. So this is open right now up until December 7th. And it's, you know, it's 12 cases. It won't take a long time. So come in when the library's open and just walk up to the third floor. But I would like to invite everyone to a reception we're having. And it is on World AIDS Day, which is December 1st, and it is in the Collins Gallery from 5:30 to 7:30. We're going to have some food and drink, and we're going to also have a small program as well. And we hope that you'll join us and bring friends and just spend some time with us. You don't have to be the whole time. The program will start at 6. And again, it will be up until December 7th when it gets taken down. And then also that day, bear with me real quick, CAP is having their first acknowledgement of our heroes, and it is a event that will be honoring local heroes. It is there to acknowledge the work of Nike, wonderful Kevin Cook, otherwise known as Poison Waters, and Dr. Lois Picker from OHSU, and the work that they've done within the HIV arena for many, many years. And that's happening during the day. It's a luncheon at the Nines. So there's a lot to happening out there. If you're interested, not just CAPS events, but in general, I want to get this out to you, in the many, many events that various HIV agencies and churches and synagogues and other people that are doing acknowledging World AIDS Day, go to this site. It's worldaidsdaynorthwest.org, and you'll get a whole list of activities that are happening, and I'm sure all of them will be very meaningful for you. Thank you.
Indeed. Thanks so much. And the website is worldaidsdaynw.org. And you can find a list of about a dozen events. It's almost perfect. It does include events in Connecticut and Wisconsin. So whatever software is behind that site isn't exactly 100%. But there's some great events there. Jim, why don't you tell us a little bit about Let's Kick Ass PDX?
Well, thanks, Alan. Yeah. I'm glad to talk about this, and I'm actually, let me be very candid, I'm here to pitch another opportunity for your audience to get together with us on December 3rd, and also Jennifer is here, and Jennifer, you can fill in the parts of this that I'm missing. Let's Kick Ass is a Portland, Oregon metro chapter of a national grassroots movement. We are HIV/AIDS long-term survivors. We are self-defined. If we believe we are survivors, then we are. We are positive and negative. We are men and women. Actually, I was surprised at what a marvelous age range that we have. We have people involved who are in their late 70s. We have people in their early 40s and everything in between. So it's really quite wonderful that people are participating. Our intention is to honor the unique and profound experience of having lived through the HIV/AIDS epidemic. And we're dedicated to reclaiming our lives, making sure that we end isolation where that's appropriate, and creating a positive future, maybe a future we never dreamed of. So this is a movement, and we invite people to be a part of this if they would like to. Let me do the pitch right here. Here's another website for you. In part of my professional career, I was also a web developer, so I know the power and value of an easy-to-recall URL. So please, memorize this, share it with your friends. Let's Kick Ass PDX is lka-pdx.org. Please go there. You have the opportunity to go to the contact page and enroll. And basically, there's no money involved. There's really no commitment on your part other than the commitment to our mission and being interested in being on our contact list. And we hope you'll consider going there and reading about the activities we're doing. But quite specifically, the one activity that we're here to pitch tonight is on Wednesday, December 3rd. Judith just talked about the absolutely incredible exhibit that you can visit at the Central Library downtown in Portland. there's a collection of activities taking place there. And this Wednesday, December 3rd, 6 p.m., we hope you'll join us. It's going to be a collection of people interested in hearing about the stories of long-term survivors. But when we gathered today, Jennifer gathered with me and with Corey and with Robbie, and the four of us, we were intending to get together for a half hour and talk through what this panel discussion might be. Well, 3 hours later, we really hadn't had it all figured out, but we had wonderful dreams. We're well on our way. One thing I'll say is that we have a commitment. This is not going to be a panel discussion. This is not going to be experts talking at you. This is going to be some sharing of stories and an absolutely warm invitation to join with us in telling your story as well. And so audience members may want to come and just listen. That would be perfectly fine. But be aware, you're going to be invited to be part of the storytelling and engage with us, and that will be wonderful. And Jennifer, maybe you have some specific reflections on that as well.
Well, I think in a sense we will be the living part of the exhibit. And so you have an opportunity to truly engage with those of us who've walked this path these past 20 and 30 years. And it really is a unique opportunity to come and listen to us again Wednesday, December 3rd from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the U.S. Bank Room in the Multnomah County Library downtown. There will be a panel of four of us, all of us long-term survivors, and one of us who is a long-term survivor of being an HIV supporter, which is something that we need to not neglect in this observation, that there are many, many of us who, while there are many, many of us who live with the virus in our physically, there are so many more who are our supporters, the loved ones, the caregivers, the indefatigable people who help at places like Our House and Cascade AIDS Project. I myself am a former Cascade AIDS Project client, and I'm now on the board of advisors at Cascade AIDS Project. And without these organizations, without these individuals who carry us forward all of these years, people like me couldn't be here. I think it's going to be a fun, engaging conversation. As Jim mentioned, we spent a lot of time planning something that will be a little bit different than your normal panel. We're planning on something that's a bit more creative and a bit more engaging, speaking not only directly to our experience, but also the universality of being a survivor, the seeking of balance, what it is to juggle disclosure and our own sometimes need for silence or isolation, what it has been to have this history and how we're walking into our future, and the contrast between the isolation that some experience and the great community that there is to be reached out for. So we're excited to have you join us again Wednesday, December 3rd, 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the U.S. Bank Room in the Multnomah County Library downtown.
Wonderful. That is a lot of events to keep track of. So again, the website where you can get some information about each of these and others, it is worldaidsdaynw.org. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with our guests.
Your voice smile, 5 in the morning, looked into your eyes, and I was
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Boston, in the control room, making all of this happen week after week here on Out Loud. Alexis, we're going to talk with you some more about open enrollment for Affordable Care Act coverage. One of the things we can do for each other is give our friends and loved ones gentle reminders about the need to sign up and the fact that there are timelines for getting that done. And those can be difficult conversations to have, of course, but it's so important. And especially when we're faced with this pretty dreadful information from the federal government this week about how inadequate care has been for folks with HIV and how many folks with HIV are not there yet.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're definitely right about every point there. And sorry, when I was listening to you talk, I was thinking about a conversation I recently had with my mom, as I've been having to call her and, you know, remind her and tell her about how she needs to do all of this again, and that there's all this health insurance stuff that just seems absolutely crazy and confusing to take care of, but that it really is important because it's a little confusion right now for a lot of peace of mind and for your actual health throughout the rest of the year. And it's also because of, as you said, deadlines. In just 3 weeks, December 15th, that anyone who had insurance from last year through the Cover Oregon will be losing their insurance on January 1st unless they can renew by December 15th. And so even though it's kind of can be an awkward conversation and a bit dry, remind your friends, tell your family, you know, your siblings, your parents, you know, be like, hey, have you gotten this done? Because, you know, if you get sick, we need you to be able to go to the doctor. You know, this is also because these open enrollment periods, just to make sure everyone understands, are so important, since if you were to get sick, if you were to be diagnosed with HIV, if something were to happen to you and you didn't sign up during open enrollment, they actually will not let you sign up. You will not be able to get insurance. You will actually have to deal with all the medical costs on your own. And those prices are just so high and so, you know, honestly, they're beyond what people can actually pay. And this is why you need to remember these dates. You need to remember, you know, come in and renew your application by December 15th. You know, make sure if you can't do it then to be in before February 15th next year, because once it closes, it's closed all the way until nearly November of 2015. And sorry, I kind of forgot the last point you had mentioned.
Well, remind us where we can get some help with.
Mm-hmm. So I think for anyone who is in Portland or living around or near Portland, you can come to the Cascade AIDS Project, and we are here to assist you in any way with through this enrollment process. We can help with filling out the applications. We can help with getting them sent in. We can help you go over all of the plans, and it's very easy to contact us. You just need to go to our website, you know, cascadeaids.org/coveroregon. And you'll have our email addresses, you'll have our contact numbers, and you can get a hold of us and we'll set you up with an appointment. Also, if anyone wants, on December 13th at Pivot, which is at 209 Southwest 4th Avenue in downtown Portland, there will be an enrollment fair being held by us, and anyone who comes in that day, regardless of status, can come in and we will assist you right then and there and get you through the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the hours on that fair?
That fair is going to be from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on December 13th.
And there's also going to be food there, too.
Yes, this is true. There will be complimentary food there. We're kind of going back and forth, but it should have some sort of breakfast for people who come in early. And then there'll be some type of lunch available. I think last I heard we were going to be ordering pizza, but that could change. If you really don't want us to order pizza, go on to Facebook or Twitter and tell us what to order.
And the 13th, I'm doing the math in my head. Saturday?
Yes, Saturday the 13th.
So wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Alexis. Judith, mm-hmm. we would love to hear some more about the exhibit that you've got up.
Well, you know, as I said, there's 12 glass cases mm-hmm. they have up there. And so each one sort of tells a story and a bit about the services and the programs at CAP, and as well as, of course, there's one whole big case for ACT UP Portland, which is fantastic. It's very moving. But I'm going to just tell you about a couple of the cases that really have been very powerful experiences. And I've been so honored to be creating these. It's been a very emotional experience on a personal level. The one case that I can see people very moved by is that we have three remembrance books. Now, these books were put out in the lobbyway of Cascade AIDS Project right from its very beginnings and for many, many years. And that book was always open. It was the journals, and there was always a candle burning. And anyone who wanted to could go and write down their thoughts and their memories and their goodbyes in honoring someone who died from HIV. And it was a constant everyday situation. So we have these books that we got rebound recently because they were falling apart, and they're open to some very powerful pages so you can read them directly. So that's one case that really speaks with the words of the people themselves saying goodbye and sending their love to people that died. And then this other case has a lot of the different history things. One of the best stories is that way back when, and I remember this very, very clearly, TriMet, and let me do a disclaimer, they now are very big supporters of Cascade AIDS Project, and they have changed in every way possible around this. However, in 87, there were posters put on the buses, and these buses had a picture, a very benign picture of two gentlemen together, and it was a prevention method about taking care of oneself and loving each other safely, right? Well, even our governor, Goldschmidt, and there was a real outcry, as well as in the Oregonian and other places, saying, huh, are these posters really about AIDS prevention, or are they about promoting homosexuality? And check it out. They got taken down. So it tells the history of that. You'll get to see the poster, and you'll get to see sort of what came of that and all the Oregonian articles. And it's just that type of history, the things that sort of everyday stuff that happened that I think people will really enjoy seeing. And then there's also a great case of amazing artwork by Vaughn Frick, who is very active and ACT UP and an amazing comic book creator and artist. So it appeals to everybody in so many levels. And it's also, I want to say, it's something to bring your kids to and youth. I want people to realize, and I want young people to realize, that this is a part of their history that they don't remember. But, you know, their family members and their parents, or their loved ones were a part of, and they're now going to be a part of as we continue on dealing with HIV. And so come and see the rest. I know that you will walk away with a whole understanding of what this journey has been for so many.
Judith, I'll mention one other thing, another bit of story about the bus posters.
Please do.
And I'll say this from an Oregon statewide perspective. At that time, I was living in Eugene, and I was a founding member, a board member, program director, executive director of the Willamette AIDS Council in Eugene. Well, the Oregon Health Division came up with the idea of needing some sort of advocacy work and some sort of social media. And so the poster was originated as a contest, and there were submissions from across the state, and there were people collecting in Eugene and other cities. I remember from Roseburg and some other cities around, all submitted posters. I remember we created one. One of the concerns was that many of them were very explicit, and this was tremendously important to say the words that need to be said, to tell people what they really needed to do to save their lives and to protect themselves. Well, in the end, the decision was made that we really can't go with anything that explicit. The world is just not ready for that now, and we need to really go instead of something that is that talks about safe sex or something else that talks about things that we should not be talking about. Instead, we will show Two Sweethearts. And so the decision was made to show Two Sweethearts. There was some bitterness initially about that until we all saw the picture. And we saw the photograph of two men who just cared about each other and were holding themselves in a gentle, easy embrace and just saying in so many words, in through this photograph, I care about you. I really want you to be with me. I really want you to stay alive. And I care about you. So that was the beautiful poster that then moved into the story that you just told about how the newspaper was outraged about it and was promoting false values. And it was to some extent, it's a story of certainly the specifics of that, but the way in which the world is moving in a different direction right now. And that particularly as we look at marriage equality and some of the other issues happening now, the world really is becoming a different place.
And can I just say, though, it also speaks to the reality that we still, it's part of our mission statement at CAP in regards to stigma. The stigma surrounding this is just, has been so profound. It's a thing that I think has been responsible for this thing to continue at levels that it shouldn't. And it is still something that we need to address, you know, every day. But it's such a perfect example of that. But thank you. I did not know that first part of the history. So this is
great. And I'm telling that story from somebody who submitted a poster that was rejected. So.
Oh, that's so good.
That's great. We're going to take another short break and listen to some music. And we'll be back and we're going to talk some about what it is to live with HIV and to survive it. Thanks for being with us on Out Loud today.
See you waiting for God, me to come along. Come on, to come along. left me lonely. If giving was my friend,
giving was my friend.
I'm keeping all the old themes.
Keeping all the old themes.
I'm keeping my loose ends. But now I'm feeling empty.
Now I'm feeling empty.
I tried my best last time.
Tried my best this time.
I'll leave you with your feelings.
I'll leave you with your feelings.
That was Blood Orange. Welcome back to Out Loud, everyone. Jim, you want to lead us in with a little bit about Let's Kick Ass PDX?
Sure. Thanks, Alan. Even though we can talk about this movement, Let's Kick Ass PDX, and actually it's the Portland chapter of a national movement, I think it's important to talk about that. Our good friends in San Francisco, Tez Anderson and some others there who have been a significant part of creating this national movement. It's a punchy name and it's fun, and we do play with it. But I think that the listeners may want to know that when we talk about Let's Kick Ass, ASS actually is an acronym. It's an acronym for AIDS Survivor Syndrome. And as much as we try to be playful and punchy with it, this really is quite important and would be helpful. The term survivor syndrome was originally coined by Dr. Niederlund, who described it as the way that survivors of the death camps, describing what they were going through 16 years after the Holocaust, that when people experience deep trauma, particularly trauma that is long-standing and goes on and on and on and on for years or sometimes more than a decade, there's no time to process this. There's no time to know what to do with it or no time to practically do anything with it. So instead, people do what we all do, what I have done. Stuff it. You stuff it. Someone needs a meal, and so you go help them. There's a memorial service to go to. There's an opportunity for activism. So you are there in the streets. You're doing what you need to do, or you lobby in Congress, or you go talk to your elected officials. All of that work takes time, takes all your emotional capacity. But years later, when things have slowed down, what I have discovered, and I'll tell my personal story to this, is years later, when the overall motion of the epidemic has changed, instead of from a tsunami, has now moved to a roaring storm. And in my own experience, after the death of my husband and after I found myself without any friends, they had all left the earth. And I remember them and I love them dearly, but the memories are not the same thing as sitting next to somebody and watching a movie on Friday night and hoping somebody else will go make the popcorn. It's a different experience being alone when you really had not expected it. And so people might suspect that that AIDS survivor syndrome is a collection of characteristics of people who have been through this and profoundly been through it for a period of time. And now, years later, are coming to grips with what really happened to us. And, oh, by the way, I'm getting old. And some of the story Jennifer and Corey and Robbie and I were sharing this morning, talking about how a lot of the people in the earliest days were told, make your arrangements. You're going to be dead in 6 months. And people responded to that in very different ways. Some people were traumatized, didn't know what to do. Other people froze. Other people, Robbie was talking about that he said, okay, he's going to have one hell of a party. If he's got 6 months to spend down his money, it was going to go out in style. And so people did all sorts of things to that. But now to discover, oh my word, I am here. I don't have a retirement fund. Life is not what I expected it to be, and what do we do about that? And so in some people, that brings up a lot of post-traumatic stress characteristics and brings about other emotional distress, depression and anxiety, emotional numbness, hopelessness, flashes of anger, aimlessness, a long list of ways in which we could talk about our distresses. These are all very real, and I can at least speak to my own experience that every now and then they just walk up to me and kick me in the head. At the same time, I had the opportunity a month ago to talk with a group of people who came to a workshop that we presented on, or that we facilitated on AIDS survivor syndrome. And at that workshop, we got into breakout sessions. And one session that I had the privilege to be a part of was asked to define what does AIDS survivor syndrome to you mean? What would be the characteristics? And they were able to go through the survivor guilt and the substance abuse and the PTSD and the rest of that that we know about. But at one moment, one man in the group said, "Can I ask something? Is it really okay? Is it all right? Do I have permission to say that something good may have come of this? This is heretical. This is really, I've never said this before." And was really asking the group, could we even talk about this? Is this a taboo? Does this dishonor all the people who have left us before we wished they had? The group wanted to know more. I don't think anybody early on said, "Oh, yes, we all have permission." No, it wasn't. We want to know no more. And the more we talked about it, the more just reading the body language and hearing the words, we discovered that this really was okay, not only okay to talk about, probably we needed to talk about it. And so they asked that that as we develop this understanding of AIDS survivor syndrome, that we include a couple other things. Let me read you some. I want to read this to you because it's in their own words. The lead in here is that some survivors have emphasized that among the ways in which we've been forever changed, there are some affirmative characteristics. One that was mentioned was an acute sense of personal capacity and resilience against all odds. Another is that one man spoke that he had an appreciation for every dawn after years of preparing to die the next day. And one other said that he had a profound understanding of what community can do when we're pushed to the edge. And these are big, but still, it is so wonderful to tease something out of us that we can say, maybe I've got some tools that will not only help me survive, but as we were discussing earlier this morning, we could thrive. How can we thrive? What can we do to go there? And we know that each of us are in different places along that continuum, but I thought it was really affirming to get to the point where something positive could be said here. And perhaps this is not at all dishonoring the people who have left us. Perhaps this is the greatest honor of all, of saying, your departure, we remember you, and we will remember you in a way that's affirming.
As you spoke, Jim, it made me think of, well, one of the biggest gifts that I've gained out of this process is that I was such a mousy kid when this came along and shocked my life. I was the kid in my high school class who had to give my speech out in the hallway to my teacher with my note cards because I couldn't get through it in class. I was that shy. I was the kid you had to prompt to speak a little bit louder so you could hear me reading aloud in class. And this disease entering my life caused me to shout. It caused me to never want to be silent. It caused me to overcome any fears I had of public speaking. Because the moment I became infected, I started disclosing, and the first thing I needed to do was to go back to the boy that I was infected by, or thought I had been infected by. And within 2 weeks, I was in the clinic with him and his new girlfriend, and they were finding out they were HIV positive. And all of us were 18 and 19 years old. And it was devastating. And I knew in that very moment, and everyone had their epiphanies when HIV entered their lives. None of us ever thought it would happen to us, of course. And I think that's a constant. We never think that these things will happen to us. Most of us think we're kind of invulnerable, especially as a young person. But as this entered my life, I knew that I needed it to stop. I knew that I needed to do everything that I could to share this information and try to prevent it in the other young people that I knew. And so that started this cascade of activism and action for what has now become a lifetime. And at that time, I was told that I would be lucky to reach my 25th birthday, and that I should live as much of my life as I could and do what I could with my life until that time. And unfortunately, my body, sometimes you wonder if it's psychosomatic, but my body started breaking down, and I kept having one opportunistic infection after the other, and it was clear that my immune system was devastated and I wasn't going to continue. And just then the medications showed up. They showed up just in time to save me. And this was 1997. And when we mention some of the news that's coming out about HIV, including something that was in this morning's news report, that so few people in the United States are accessing care who are infected with HIV, I have been able to access that care, and it has extended my life longer than I could have ever imagined. And I have this beautiful life that I could have only dreamed of. When I was diagnosed, I knew, one, that I would not live to see my 25th birthday. I knew I would never have a child, never have a partner, someone who I could grow old with. And now I have this beautiful, healthy 8-year-old daughter who is the light and joy of my everyday, because I have medications that I have access to, and I have care that I have access to that extends this life. And I have a loving partner, a husband who, while HIV negative, has walked this path with me now for over 18 years. And I love him so much, and I'm so grateful for that support, and the support of friends, and the support of the community, and the AIDS service organizations who've helped get me here. And these are the types of stories that you'll hear if you come and listen to us on Wednesday, December 3rd. There will be a small group of us survivors recounting what it's been like to walk this history and to now be stepping into a future that we never thought we would have. And again, this will be Wednesday, December 3rd at 6 p.m. We'll be speaking as a panel and inviting you to join us and interact with us. We're not going to just talk at you. And there will be some laughter, and there might be a little bit of tears. As you heard, I got a little bit emotional there. But we'll be at the Multnomah Public Library right downtown in the U.S. Bank Room. So please join us if you can.
Well, I wonder if I could take this opportunity once again to pitch Let's Kick Ass PDX. I primarily here, this really is a group of people who are finding connection and companionship with each other. I've found great power in having the friendship that I'm gaining from this. Let me just tell the listeners what we do. We have social activities. We get together for a weekly coffee. We've had bowling nights. We have a performance group that are getting together to talk about perhaps doing something within theater, or we're not even sure. I think we really get together and have hors d'oeuvres and talk, but it's great companionship. We also have health and wellness interests of trying to connect people to resources, not medical resources, but ways in which we can connect spiritually and ways in which we can find opportunity to build our mental health by ending isolation. We're working to create visibility and voice. Thank you, KBOO, and other community members who give us the opportunity to talk to the rest of the world. We do activism and advocacy. We've testified before the county commissioners, Multnomah County commissioners, and encouraged them and actually succeeded in getting them to issue a proclamation in support of long-term survivors. And I thought that was a powerful moment. I have never before that seen a county commissioner cry. That wasn't my goal, but if that's going to happen, it would be a good place for it to take place. And then the other part of that is that we're just working to create a strong movement to connect people and come together. There's no money involved. We don't have a bank account. We don't issue checks. We get together in people's homes. We meet downtown once a week at a cafe for coffee. It's very informal, but if somebody's interested in going to lka-pdx.org, you can submit your name. It's confidential. We don't use that. We don't publish it. We don't give it to anybody else. We just use it for our internal purposes, but you'd be able to get some information about activities that you might want to connect with.
And I think I'd like to make sure that we mention again the open enrollment period. For a person like me as a survivor, I would not be here without access to care. And I am fortunate. I know that. And it's because of that care that I can be as healthy as possible. And I think that we can all take a universal message from this time that we've all been talking, that we need to do the best that we can to take the best care of ourselves and our loved ones. Yes. And open enrollment ends on December 15th. Oh, so please speak to that again.
That December 15th is the deadline for anyone who got insurance last year to be able to keep their insurance without it ending.
Sorry.
If you do miss that, though, you will have until February 15th, but you don't want that gap in coverage. You don't want to run that risk of, especially if you are someone who currently takes any sort of prescription medications for any reason, not just for HIV. You don't want to have that January comes around and suddenly you find out you can't go to a pharmacy and you can't get a refill without spending potentially several hundred to thousands of dollars. And so this is sort of the important thing of remembering for December 15th to come in. To you can contact the Cascade AIDS Project. You can go to our website, cascadeaids.org, or you can even come in there on December 13th to pivot from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we can get you enrolled. We can help you choose a plan that works best for you. And we can just sort of make sure that when the unexpected happens, you have the ability to go to a doctor and get treatment and be able to live, you know, your life. Mm-hmm.
And if I may, I just have to send out a pitch here for all of you that have in your basement or up in your attic or under your bed memorabilia and, you know, boxes of papers, whatever, that have to do with your experience with HIV, especially if there's any involvement, you know, with the Cascade AIDS Project as well or ACT UP. I invite you, I implore you to not, you know, recycle that stuff or, you know, just toss it in the dumpster, but give us a call. Give us a call at Cascade AIDS Project and ask for Judith. And I promise you, even if you can't get the stuff to us, we'll come and get it from you. It's a real treasure, and we don't want that to disappear. So please, if you don't know where to, what to do with this stuff, and you're getting to be my age or a bit older, my goodness, God forbid. I know myself, I'm entering my 25th year of doing HIV work, and I know that I'm going to be leaving my paper to cap, and happily so, because I guarantee you it is preserved beautifully. It goes on to a website bank. Everything is taken care of, so you can feel good that your, you know, some prized possessions will go on beyond you. Thank you.
Judith, one quick question. I know we're running out of time, but if I were to donate some of my personal artifacts to this, and being aware that each piece of paper, each T-shirt, each poster, there's a story behind it, and there's people behind it.
Yes.
Some of those people are not around anymore, and telling the story and having that be attached to it. Is there some possibility for that, for the stories to be connected with the artifacts?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, we go through this and we file it, so I think it's just really important to just know that. Just bring it down, and it'll be preserved.
I just think it's a great opportunity. I know other people of my. I'm 67. I know other men my age where we've talked about that we're alone. We understand that, you know, our life will go on, but someday we'll no longer be here. And these things really ought to stay with the world. There's some importance to them. They tell a story that that needs to be told and remembered.
Yeah, and come and see the exhibit on the third floor of the library. It's up until December 7th.
And I think one last thing, for those of you who maybe these are busy times, it's the holidays, and you may only be able to engage online, but if on World AIDS Day, December 1st, if you can do just one thing, go online. There are so many resources around World AIDS Day, and that URL, again, is worldaidsdayNW.org. And I'm also associated with an organization called greaterthan.org, and they have many helpful tools for education around HIV and AIDS, and they're all free. And you can share them with people you think need to hear it. Maybe that's yourself. Maybe it's a loved one. take good care.
KBOO out loud, thank you so much.
We love you, KBOO.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for being with us and sharing with us. Coming up next is Hard Knock Radio. Thanks to everyone.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, also heard on the web at www.kboo.fm. The time is 7 o'clock. Stay tuned for Hard Knock Radio coming up next.
Tune in Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for The Melting Pot, featuring DJs, producers, and electronic artists from around the globe. Win tickets and stay up on events each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on The Melting Pot, right here at 90.7 FM KBOO.